How do you do? Is there such a thing as victimless crime? Well, the man in this story thought so. He had intelligence and drive and was earning millions by the age of 20 by providing what the wealthy and powerful wanted. In the end, he discovered that there were victims after all, and he was one, until his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Hidalgo, I don't want our children to live under Castro any longer.
Well, surely you don't want to leave the country?
Why can't we go to Miami like others who hate communism?
We are very wealthy, Teresa. I've worked hard with our furniture factory. You want me just to walk away from it?
What does it matter compared to our children? In school, they're learning that God does not exist, that religion is the opium of the masses. We can't let them grow up without morality.
Well, how can I start over again at my age?
Hidalgo, God will make a way. But if you don't want to go, I'm going anyway. I want you to sign this release so I can take the children out of the country.
Teresa, this is madness. Things are not so bad here.
But they'll get worse. Wait and see.
From the annual anniversary celebration of Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, this is Unshackled, true life stories showing the way out of darkness. Hundreds of guests and friends of the mission have gathered here today to celebrate 122 years of light from the old lighthouse. They are seeing for themselves why Pacific Garden Mission has kept the doors open since 1877, offering refuge to those who have nowhere else to go, no one else who cares. Here, without charge, they receive food, clean clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Even medical and dental care is given, and all made possible by those who respond out of hearts of love. The old lighthouse is a place where anyone can find hope through Bible classes, counseling, and the love of those who minister here. And most of all, they find forgiveness and acceptance from the one who offers new life. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2558 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hidalgo, there's some kind of mistake in my passport. They won't let me go.
I'm not leaving without you.
No, Hidalgo. You have to get the children out.
No, not without you.
Jorge, take your brother and sister and get on the plane now. You must go without us.
Mommy, no.
Go, hurry up. We'll come as soon as we can.
Teresa, we can't let them go alone. What will happen to them? I'll go.
The man in our story was 10 years old when he fled Cuba in 1966 with his father, brother, and sister. His father owned a furniture manufacturing company there, so they were wealthy enough to have servants, even a chauffeur. But all that changed when they became refugees. This is the story of his rise to power and his fall. It's the true story of Jorge Valdez right now on Unshackled.
That was the most traumatic moment in my life. As I took my brother and sister's hand to leave my parents, I decided that God did not exist. How could he let us suffer that much? Even after my father changed his mind and came with us, I remained angry at God. Life in Miami was horrible. There were six other refugees living with us in a one-bedroom apartment. We went hungry, wore other people's clothing, and cried ourselves to sleep every night. Mother came 7 months later, but things didn't get any better because she had throat cancer and stayed in bed all long time. I had to work constantly. Here's the money I made washing cars, Papi.
Good boy, Jorge. When does the newspaper pay you?
I collect again next week. And I have a grass-cutting job tomorrow after school.
Uh-huh. Well, we need every penny we can get, son.
Papi, I wish we didn't have to live like this.
We can't go back to Cuba now.
The kids at school make fun of us because we don't speak English and our clothes don't fit. Life is so hard.
Do you think it's easy for me? Working two jobs?
Sorry, Poppy. Someday, I'm going to be rich, and you won't ever have to work like that again.
In 1969, the refugee program resettled us in New Jersey into the worst ghetto imaginable. I saw that an education was the only escape and made the National Honor Society and who's who among American high school students. In 1973, we returned to Miami, where I attended university, and went to work for the Federal Reserve Bank. I was 17, the youngest employee there. For 3 years, I worked full-time and went to college full-time. Evenings, I did the books for small businesses. In 1976, I met and married a beautiful model from the Dominican Republic, but neither of us was mature enough for marriage. My accounting professor asked me to work for his firm. I was assigned the Hispanic clients and was given office space and a secretary free. My first client turned out to be a front for the drug cartel, a grocery store whose owners drove luxury cars. I became good friends with them.
You do a fantastic job with the books, Jorge. I never worry about money except for getting it back into my own country. Currency restrictions are killing us.
Listen, I know how to open foreign bank accounts where you can put money and not worry about restrictions.
Really?
Yeah, I work for the government bank here, so I know all the angles. They accepted my proposal, and I was able to hide millions of dollars for them. During this time, my wife and I were separated. The cartel was so pleased with my honesty and hard work that I was made president of one of their fronts, a banana import company. I was young, didn't drink or party, and had a clean record, so they asked me to head all their financial operations in the U.S. At first, I wanted nothing to do with the drug trade, but they made me an offer I couldn't refuse, a full partnership.
Hey, Jorge, I heard about your promotion.
They made me a partner.
Congratulations. You're going to be very, very rich.
And why not? If movie stars and politicians want to spend a fortune on a little white powder, I'll supply it.
Don't ever try it yourself, man. This stuff is really addictive.
I know. I've seen them at parties. They climb all over each other to get it.
The cartel is smart, you know. They won't let anyone in the organization use it, ever.
I wouldn't jeopardize my health. I don't even smoke. Besides, I'd rather have the money any day.
Yeah, if the Americans want to kill themselves on drugs, let them.
Those were the early days of the cocaine trade, when we suppliers were ordinary businessmen, entrepreneurs, and our clientele were the rich and famous, politicians, and even some judges. By the age of 20, I was already a millionaire and married, but I was swept into the fast lane, traveling to foreign countries, tempted by beautiful women. I did not remain faithful to my wife, so we were divorced shortly after the birth of our son. I justified what I was doing by giving away money, but my parents were not impressed.
That's a fancy-looking convertible, Jorge.
It's a beautiful, isn't it? Why don't I buy you one, Poppy?
Keep your money for your family, son.
I have plenty. Hey, Mommy, you look great.
Hello, son. Come on inside.
Why don't you let me buy you a bigger house?
We're okay here, Jorge.
But I've got an empty house worth $500,000. Nobody's living there.
Why does a man need more than one house?
It's an investment, Poppy.
Well, we're happy right here, aren't we, Teresa?
There's nothing wrong with our house. I heard how you helped our neighbor with her doctor bills, Jorge.
No.
And how you gave the Gonzalez money to buy a house, too? Good for you. God expects us to help people less fortunate than we are.
Your business must be doing very well.
Yes, it is, Poppy. Very well. I always left home with $10,000 or $20,000 in my pocket. I had a mansion on the beachfront, a 53-foot yacht, and a Lear jet I sent to pick up models and starlets and bring them to Las Vegas. But the more I accumulated, the more I wanted, because things were not the answer to the void inside of me. My brother, who was 1 year younger than I was, observed my progress.
Wow, look at that gold watch. It's gorgeous.
You can have it, Juan. I have others.
I can have it?
Yeah.
Gee, thanks, Jorge. Must be nice to be rich.
Oh, rich is okay, but it's power that matters.
What do you mean?
I rub elbows with all kinds of rich people, but I never met one who was content. But it's pretty cool to have a general meet me when I arrive in a country.
Oh, you think you're a big shot, but are you doing what's right?
When we first came here, remember how the kids at school made fun of us?
Yeah, I remember. Everyone was invited to parties but us.
I feel like I'm finally getting even. I can buy anything I want now, even beautiful women.
But is this the way to get even?
Well, the world sure is not what I thought it was back then. There's so much corruption in high places, you would not believe it. And these are the people who make laws and leaders who set moral standards. I quit believing in God when I was 10. Now I don't believe in people either.
Whatever you do, don't tell Mommy that. She still believes in God and morality and all that stuff.
Yeah, I know. They're our parents, and I love them. But look at this little bitty house they live in. I could give them so much more, but they won't take it.
They don't want something for nothing.
Look, you might as well get all you can while you can. My friends and partners were generals and government leaders. I traveled to other countries in my own plane and carried so much money that they met me with armed escorts. On one trip to Bolivia, I made a deal that would bring in $7 million 3 times a month. As we flew to Nicaragua in the evening to set up a new route for distribution, I was feeling invincible.
What's the problem?
Some kind of malfunction.
Can we make it to Nicaragua?
I don't know. It acts like it's out of fuel.
We have 200 gallons of fuel.
I can't seem to get it out to the wing tanks. Oh, man, it's the other alternator.
Can you make an emergency landing somewhere?
No time. We're only at 5,000 feet. Put your head between your legs, Jorge. We're going to crash.
Where are we now?
I don't know.
As we plummeted to the ground, loaded with 200 gallons of clandestine fuel and 200 kilos of cocaine, I wondered if my family would even find our bodies.
Jorge would fall a lot further than he knew. And we'll hear about that in just a moment. Where would you be without Christ? As you think about that, think also about the multitudes who are living their lives without Him, lives of hopeless desperation. And if you have been delivered from darkness, why not tell them your story so they may be drawn to the light? Unshackled is heard on more than 1,100 radio outlets around the world and translated into Arabic and Spanish for broadcast in the Middle East and Latin America. On any day at almost any hour, thousands are hearing these life-changing true stories. Be a faithful witness, and God will use your testimony to reach someone who is lost. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that's what Unshackled is all about, sharing the good news. So send us your story or the name of a friend to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
We crashed in the jungles of Panama and miraculously survived. Investigators found the cocaine and arrested us. I paid a $250,000 bribe to the attorney general, but we were interrogated anyway. One of the pilots broke down when he saw how brutally they treated another prisoner. He told them everything, and they released him. But we were thrown in a dungeon with no light and no facilities. We were tortured day and night. As a result of their assaults, I had bleeding spells for 5 years thereafter. After 20 days of torture, I paid another $250,000 bribe, and they released us to Interpol, who took us to Miami, where the DEA arrested us. My bond was the highest in the U.S. up to that time. $5 million. My family was devastated, but they stood by me.
You need medical treatment, Jorge.
The torture was worse than the plane crash.
Ay, Jorge, how did all this happen?
Wrong place at the wrong time, Mommy. You're at their mercy in a foreign country. They did not even feed us for the entire 20 days, just a little water. I thought I would go crazy. I tried to force them to shoot me. Every day they kicked us and beat us.
Barbarians!
The media claims you're the head of the biggest drug operation in the country, Jorge. Is it true?
Oh, I'm just an accountant who's been railroaded. I've never done drugs in my life. I don't even smoke.
You have the best lawyers, don't you?
Yes. We are going to beat them because the crime I'm accused of was not committed in America.
How can that be?
Don't worry, Mommy. If I can survive a jail in Panama, I can survive anything. I was sentenced to 15 years in federal prison, which was no hardship because many of my people were inmates. In a world where weakness made you a target, I never showed any weakness. My parents visited week after week, bringing my little boy. I met my second wife while in prison and was married for a year before my release. My brother became an alcoholic as his way of coping with my imprisonment. After 5 years, I was released on parole, 29 years old and bitter. I went right back to work with the drug cartel, who knew they could trust me because I didn't talk. I had more money and more power than ever. My wife divorced me shortly after our daughter was born, but I did not show the impact that all this had on me. I went to see my parents every day. How you doing, Poppy? Hi, Mommy. Hi. Listen, is there anything you need?
We don't want anything from you, Jorge. It's true, isn't it? You really are a drug dealer.
What does it matter what I do?
We sacrificed everything to come to this country so you could learn morality and be free. And this is how you repay us?
Look, I worked hard to get where I am.
Well, God doesn't approve of where you are and what you do.
What God? I am God. Where was he when we came from Cuba and nearly starved to death? Where was God when you were left behind and we came by ourselves? God is who you make it to be, and I am God. I have the power to give and take life. My bodyguards would gladly die for me.
I won't listen to this. I blame you, Hidalgo. You knew all along what he was doing.
He did not.
Well, what are we going to do?
Oh, it's too late to do anything, Poppy. I'm in too deep.
You're our son, Jorge. Nothing will change that.
I was miserable, even though I was more powerful than ever, with millions in assets, including a ranch with quarter horses. I began to make excuses for not working because I hated everyone around me. Everything came to a head when a bullet meant for me killed my bodyguard. I sat beside his 12-year-old daughter at the funeral, and tears ran down my face as I wondered who would sit beside my little girl when my turn came. I knew it was time to get out.
Hello?
Hi. Mommy, it's me.
Jorge, are you in trouble?
No, I just wanted to let you know that it's over. I'm quitting the business.
You are? Thank God. I knew he would answer my prayers. Here, talk to your dad.
Jorge, is it true?
Yes, Poppy. I've already called my partners and told them. I'm going to move out of Miami into the country and raise quarter horses on my ranch.
Well, what made you decide?
My life is empty, that's all. Pointless and empty. A few months after I moved onto my horse ranch, I hired a karate instructor because I wanted to get my black belt. He arrived, and right away he said, Jorge, I'm going to teach you about the sword. I thought he had a pop-up sword or something in his gym bag. Instead, he pulled out a Bible.
This is the sword of the spirit.
Listen, let's get this straight. I'm paying you a lot of money to come teach me karate. I don't want to hear about no Bible, no God. Look, I am God.
Satan made that claim, Jorge, and it's blasphemy.
I'm not worried about that, so you might as well leave that sword you've got and bring the real sword tomorrow. I'm not paying for preaching.
What I've got to give you won't cost you money. You can't afford to pay.
You want to waste your time? Bring it on. You're not the first one to waste your time.
God's word does not return to him void. Now check your stance, man. You better be standing on the rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it.
He'll never give up, do you?
Neither does God. He goes a distance. You know anybody else who would take a beating for you? Or wear a crown of thorns while being mocked and spit on? Or nailed to a cross for you? Oh, good move, Jorge.
I'm not into sacrifice. I'm into warfare.
The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Christ!
He laid down his life for you, Jorge. Don't ever forget that.
Oh, that's enough for one day.
Enough karate or enough preaching?
Both.
You can never get enough Jesus. He's so awesome, Jorge. To think that God would send his son to die for our sins so we could be forgiven. Isn't that awesome?
Every day for 3 years he preached to me, taught me about Jesus. I watched his life closely, and he lived everything that he taught me. He had been married for over 20 years, and he loved his wife with great passion. I had never really loved any woman, even though I was engaged to be married again. One day I cried out to God, I don't know if you could ever take me, but if you want me the way I am, you can take me. I can't be like him, but I will give you all I've got. I will give you as much or more than I gave Satan. I am willing to try this. 2 months later, while I was on my honeymoon, I was arrested.
Jorge, we can beat them. They have very little evidence.
A couple of months ago, I would have, but not now.
You're charged with importing 3,000 kilos of cocaine in 1986.
That was 5 years ago.
That's irrelevant. The Drug Enforcement Agency has made a career out of catching you. There's 8 counts to the indictment. Each one carries a mandatory life sentence.
Oh, it's mind-boggling.
Let's fight them. The key witness against you was killed in an airplane accident.
No. I've changed. I don't want to fight them anymore. I'm tired of fighting. What is it they want?
Your assets.
Oh, I have one horse alone that's worth $6 million.
They want all of your assets, Jorge. Every horse, every house, every car. You could finger the general and they'd let you go. We can fight it.
No. I can't go in there and lie. I want to come clean. I didn't really know then what it meant to follow Christ. I didn't even know if he had accepted me. But I had given my word to God, and I had always kept my word. I figured it was up to him to keep his word. So the government took all my assets, worth nearly $10 million, in a plea bargain. So I began to pray. God, please save my children. If I have to stay in prison, that's fine. But please save my children. I was sentenced to 10 years.
Hello, Jorge.
Mommy, it's good to see you.
You look so happy, son.
That's Jesus, Mommy. I wish I had known him years ago. Things would have been so different.
How are you getting by, Jorge?
Oh, it's so difficult, Mommy. I don't know where the kids are, and I feel so helpless without money and power. I can't even call home. I've lost everything. But there's this radio program that I've been listening to called Unshackled. It gets me through each day. I hear stories of people who are hopeless and desperate. When I have doubts, it reaffirms my belief that Jesus really cares for me, even though I can't see it right now. Unshackled helps me to understand the future possibilities. I look forward to hearing it every night. It's the only way that I can sleep peacefully. I would have lost my mind without it. Please tell Juan to listen to Unshackled. It'll help him too.
That's good, son. The God that helps those people is the same God that will help you.
You and Poppy are great people.
Why do you say that?
I never realized until I knew Christ how you sacrificed for me and how much I destroyed your dreams ending up in prison like this.
You're still our son, no matter what.
The greatest moments I ever had in my life were when we were poor. Remember? On Saturday, you would put gas in the car and make us some sandwiches. And we would just ride as a family. Oh, that was better than having our chauffeur in Cuba.
Yes, we were poor, all right.
But we had love. And that's what matters. I didn't give those kind of memories to my children. I gave them only what money could buy. But love is really what counts.
It's not too late, Jorge.
My wife divorced me soon after my sentencing. In prison, I completed a bachelor's in theology, and by the time I was released after 5 years, I had even completed a master's degree in theology. I also preached here and there, sharing my testimony. One day, I had the surprise phone call of my life from a drug enforcement agent who had helped put me behind bars.
I called to invite you to speak at our church next Sunday, Jorge. Are you available?
Yes. Yes, I'd love to be there.
You're welcome to stay with me and my family while you're in town.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm on a tight budget.
Jorge, I spent years trying to put you behind bars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
Even though I work with the Drug Enforcement Agency, I'm a Christian first.
You know, I'm amazed you want me to stay at your house.
The day I met you in prison, I knew you were a Christian. Once we were enemies, now we're brothers in Christ.
When I first got into the drug trade, it seemed like a victimless crime. Cocaine was a toy for the rich. I did not think about it filtering down to young people, poor people, that it would destroy lives, including mine. Satan had me deceived. The Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Yes. Is that true of you? Do you think your life is just fine without God? My friend, the Bible says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. I was headed for hell. Then I met Jesus Christ, and he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Eternal life in exchange for my sins. Jesus paid for every evil deed on the cross. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus saved even me. Years ago, I left home not knowing if I would return alive. Today, I am alive forevermore because faith in his resurrection gives us eternal life. I have my Ph.D. in theology, so I can spend the rest of my life serving the Lord. All praise and glory to Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Amen. My relationship with my children has been restored, and I share my testimony wherever the Lord leads me. My friend, the Lord is waiting to come into your heart and life.
What are you waiting for?
If you turn him down, you're a fool. I know, I've been there. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus Christ will set you free.
My friend, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Today is the day of your salvation. If you need help in this life-changing decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. This is program number 2558. Need encouragement? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462.